Earlier this year, my family and I went to the Wisconsin Dells for the first time, and we got to experience the Great Wolf Lodge. And it was a lot of fun. The kids loved it. But what no one told me was that my social media and my email was never going to be the same. Because since going there, it's been about every day that I receive an ad from them encouraging me to rebook another stay. And it's all over my social media feed, too. Getting a wolf out. Come on, let's get the family together. And I noticed that it's actually not just ads for that single water park, but my feed is full of ads for all sorts of different things. And it seems like they're for all sorts of different things, but I think they're actually all trying to sell the same thing. And we actually see this even in any type of media, TV, social media, print media. You flip through any popular magazine, and you're going to see these beautiful full-color ads that seem to be selling something different each time. You're going to see a young couple drinking coffee and reading the newspaper in a luxurious bed. You're going to see a young guy on a couch with a guitar enjoying the afternoon. You're going to see a group of friends having a picnic at the beach. And even though it seems like those are different ads selling different products, they're actually all selling the same thing. What are they selling? Sabbath. Sabbath. It's from the Hebrew word Shabbat. It literally means to stop, cease, or be done. And God created the Sabbath as a regular day of rest and renewal where we aren't striving or stressing. And marketing departments all over the world know that we long for this type of life, but we don't have it. So they are willing to sell it to you. Just book this cruise. Just buy that product. And you too will experience the feelings of relaxation and bliss that those actors in the ads must be having. We ache for this type of life because we were made for it. We were created to be able to experience the rest and renewal that God built into the Sabbath. But instead of receiving that gift of the Sabbath every week, we try and get it ourselves and perform more or consume more, or we keep ourselves so busy that we don't even know how to unplug anymore. And just so you know, I'm speaking to you as someone who really struggles this with myself. Just ask Megan, my wife, anytime we take a vacation or a little getaway, I always have to bring a stack of books with me as if I have to read and be productive with my time in order to make the vacation worth it. As if time off is a great chance to catch up on all that theology reading I've been meaning to do. Or maybe you're the type of person who spends the first 2 to 3 days of vacation not ready to actually relax. You're not able to relax. You're not sure what to do with yourself with all this extra energy. And you're kind of just unable to rest. And so you're restless. And even though it's difficult at times, we still see these images of joyful rest and connection, and we long for it. And believe it or not, this goes all the way back to the time of Jesus. One of his most famous invitations is this. It's from the book of Matthew. Jesus says this. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I love how Eugene Peterson actually puts it in his Message translation. He paraphrases Jesus' words this way. This is how Eugene Peterson translates Jesus' words. Jesus says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Are you tired? In today's reality, that question, "Are you tired?" isn't even really a question anymore. It's just a given. Ask anyone you want that default question, "Hi, how are you?" And you'll either get the non-answer, "Fine," but most likely you're going to get some variation of "Busy, tired, keeping it together." No matter what line of work people have, it seems that low-grade exhaustion is the new normal. And part of this is physical. Up until fairly recently in human history, the average person slept 10 to 11 hours a night. Because if you don't have electricity to push back against the darkness, well, you usually listen to the sun. And when the sun tells you it's time to wear down and wind down, you listen. But now, today, 2025, the average American sleeps just over 6 hours a night. And just like running a piece of machinery for too long without regular maintenance breaks, our bodies break down and don't function as well either when we are chronically underrested. And yeah, there's seasons of life where it's unavoidable to have a lack of sleep. Raising young kids is the first one that comes to my mind where sleep, what is that, right? But when we make that our norm, we become diminished in our entire personhood because we're just so tired. Now, if it was just physical tiredness, well, then taking extra naps or changing our sleep routine would fix it. But we all know that getting extra sleep isn't the only thing our exhausted selves need, because we aren't just physically tired. We're exhausted in our souls. Even if you do have a chance to take a vacation or have a little getaway, catch up on some sleep, the forces of our modern world that weigh on us don't go away. We're still experiencing the pileup of the busyness, the hurry, the frenetic pace of life. That always-on culture where no matter where we go, our phones mean that we're accessible for work, for family, for anything. The pileup of feeling tired from the stress of the cost of living rising and rising and rising. This endless nature of our digital age that we're in, where the phone is always buzzing, the email notifications never stop, the 24-hour news cycle that's always full of outrage and fear. We're feeling tired from the polarization of politics. We're feeling exhausted from the increase of loneliness in our modern society. It's just too much to carry. And it's no wonder that we're all so tired. But the part of this that should alarm us is that it is more than just a physical tiredness. It's more than even an emotional toll. At its core, this is a spiritual problem. Why? Well, because for those of us that follow Jesus, now you might be here and you might not even be sure about Jesus, and I just want you to know, you're welcome here, it's okay. You don't have to make a decision for Jesus to still be welcome here. But for those of us who have committed our lives to following Jesus, that means we've committed to following his way of life also. And when Jesus said the greatest command in all of Scripture is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, he meant it. And he also said the second greatest commandment is this, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to love God and to love others. But when we're exhausted, it's hard to love. But if we follow Jesus, the whole point of our life is to become a person of love. The direction that God is leading us towards is a life of love that looks like the true love of his, the just love of his. But it's hard to love God when you're exhausted, when you're pulled in all the wrong directions by the world. Our faith doesn't produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Jesus talked a couple different times, and he gave a parable about different types of soil that receive seeds, and he was trying to say this is like different types of hearts that receive the word of God. And he said this in Mark chapter 4. He says, this is the type of heart that doesn't respond to God's word well. He says, the cares of the age, the lures of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. When the worries of life choke out the word of God out of our hearts. And we instinctively know this, right? Tired people are less loving people. That's just a fact. When you're exhausted, when you're stressed out, when you're running on fumes, you're less likely to engage God with prayer or scripture. I can't tell you how many times I've had really great intentions at night, and I'll set my alarm so I can get up early in the morning and have quiet time with God. And then the morning comes, and I go, heck no. Forget that alarm. I'm not able to engage when I'm that exhausted. But also when we're tired, it's hard for us to love other people too. Most of my worst moments as a husband or a father or a friend happened when I was exhausted or stressed or in a hurry. And that's not how Jesus designed us to live. Jesus' will for us is not for us to be forever exhausted, sleep-deprived, unhappy, living without margin. That's how the enemy wants us to live. That's how the enemy wants us to live, because our enemy knows that when we live that way, when we're exhausted, when we don't have any margin, we're less able to join Jesus in his work. We're less able to live in the way of Jesus that we were designed for. And so why is the enemy anti-Sabbath? Well, because he knows that Sabbath is God's weekly gift to free us from exhaustion and fill us with life. Jesus said it best in John chapter 10. This is one of my favorite verses. Jesus says, this is how it is. The thief, the enemy, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life, full life. Life, the only way you can get from the person who calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. And in order for us to experience that full life, we can't work our way there. Rest is an essential part of the way that God designed life, so that we can become a person marked by love, so that we can be apprentices of Jesus who are transformed to become more and more like Jesus in every area of our lives. And God cared so much about this that he designed it right into the fabric of creation. I know we've bounced around the Bible a little bit already, but I want you to open up with me to Genesis chapter 2. It's right at the beginning of the Bible. If you're using the Black Seaback Bible in front of you, it's on page 1. Not the first page, but you have to flip to where it says page 1. Genesis chapter 2. And this comes at the end of the creation account. And in the creation account in Genesis 1 and 2, we read that God created everything there is. He made light and darkness. He made day and night. And he made the sky, and he made the land, and he made the seas, and they were good. And then he filled all those things he made. He filled the day with the sun. He filled the night with stars. He filled the sky with birds and clouds. And he filled the land and the seas with animals of every kind. And they were good. And then he made humanity to steward creation, to oversee creation, to be responsible, co-heirs of creation, to take care of everything God had made as his representatives on earth. And they were very good. And then we get to Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 2. And we see there that it was on the seventh day, when he had finished all his work, he completed everything he set out to do, he had accomplished his task, then he rested. The word here for rested is actually the word Shabbat. God Sabbathed on the seventh day. Now that word, I told you already, it literally means to cease, to rest. It's to cease from labor, to rest from our work. To Sabbath means to stop. And all of the hard workers who are in here right now need to listen to me. All the high performers need to listen to me. All you really good, hardworking, high work ethic people are listening to me right now. God Sabbathed. Yeah, but Pastor Drew, I'm a type A type of person, and I kind of, God Sabbathed. Yeah, but I'm more of a doer, and so I like to get my hands in there. God Sabbathed. Yeah, but I have young kids right now, so you don't really understand. Plus, I'm trying to start this business on the side. God Sabbathed. And then he hallowed that day. He made it holy. He set it apart. He consecrated it for a special purpose. And when we break the way that he has created creation is when we get ourselves into trouble. Because from the very beginning, God built the rhythm of work and rest into creation itself. Day gives way to night. Summer gives way to fall and then to winter. The oceans rise and fall with the tides. Our chests rise and fall with every breath. God built this pendulum of work and rest into the very aspect of creation. We work for 6 days and we rest for one. And when we break that rhythm is when we experience problems. That's when we experience burnout and stress and health collapse, because we are fighting against the very way that God created the nature of existence. I was doing research for this message, and I was really grateful for the work of Pastor John Mark Comer, who I borrowed a lot of this content from, and he had done research about the last time that humans had tried on purpose to change God's design of the rhythm. And it was in 1793, during the French Revolution. The French government at the time actually tried to mandate a 10-day work week so that they could increase productivity. But of course, it didn't work. Instead, productivity plummeted, and even worse than that, the rates of suicide and mental illness soared. We're actually reliving that today. Not because the government is trying to elongate the week, but because we're becoming more and more controlled by these little electronic devices in our lives that try to convince us to stay connected and plugged in at all times, right? Our smartphones, electric lighting, alarm clocks, cars. You don't have to push, you just press the gas and it moves for you. It's all conspiring together to convince us that we live in a world where we can go, and we never have to stop. And we've already talked about the negative effects of when we live without Sabbath, when we push against that rhythm that God's built into creation. But if we keep the rhythm of work and rest the way God created it, that's when we step into his way of life. That's when we begin to experience the blessings of what an abundant life is really like. If we follow his rhythm of Sabbath, we reap the reward. I heard about this part of the Oregon Trail story that historians like to tell. There was a group who were traveling, and at a certain point, there's a disagreement, and they split into two groups. One group was worried that winter was coming, and they weren't going to make it in time, and so they decided to push through and travel every day nonstop, 7 days a week. The other group said, "We are not breaking the Sabbath. We will travel 6 days, and we will rest one day." And the irony is that the group that kept the Sabbath made it to Oregon first. When we follow God's ways, we see how he designed it. Even more recently, there's a medical study that was done on a large community of Christians who practice Sabbath. And the study found that not only are those Christians more happy on average than the general population, but they also live 11 years longer than the average American. One guy who is part of the study, who is really good with numbers, pointed out that if you take one day a week and you add it up over the average lifespan, it equals roughly 11 years. And so he theorized that every day that you Sabbath, you're literally adding a day to your life. The point is, Sabbath is built into creation like gravity. When we fight against it, we suffer the consequences. But when we live in rhythm with it, that's when we thrive. And that's actually why God commanded it for his people. If you're still in Genesis with me, you can flip to the next book. This is Exodus. If you're in the Black Sea Bibles, that's page 51 of the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 20 is when Moses receives the Ten Commandments. The first time the Ten Commandments are given to God's people. And these are the commandments for how God's people are to live in the kingdom of God. If God is your king, this is how you're supposed to live. And if you read through all the Ten Commandments, the fourth one is Sabbath. Sabbath is the longest commandment. If you add up all the words in the Ten Commandments, Sabbath makes up 37% of the entire Ten Commandments. In God's kingdom, Sabbath is up there just as important as not lying and not murdering. But the irony is that Sabbath is the only commandment I've ever heard of where Christians brag about breaking it. Because I don't know how many of you like have friends that brag about how many lies they did last week. I don't know if you have any friends or if you've ever bragged about the gambling addiction that you're having. But I know all sorts of people who brag about how much overtime they did last week, how hard they worked last month, how many emails they knocked out over the weekend. Oh, wow, 70 hours, this guy. Because busyness is seen as a sign of social status. The more busy you are, you must be a harder worker. You must be more successful. But this relentless, never stopping is not the way of God. Sabbath is more than just a good idea. It's actually a commandment, but it's not a burden that we're supposed to carry. In the time of Jesus, the Jews had created so many extra rules around Sabbath that it ended up becoming this very heavy and scary thing. And then Jesus says, you're missing the point. And he reframes it this way in Mark chapter 2. He says, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. Long before the command, Sabbath was actually given for humans as a gift in creation. It's grace. Because Jesus finished all the work that we needed to connect to God when he defeated death on the cross. That's why I want you to know that Sabbath is God's weekly gift to free us from exhaustion and fill us with life. It's a gift because he's a good father who knows what you need to live the life that he created you for. That commandment is there to show us what we need, but Jesus is the one that supplies our rest. And so Sabbath becomes a weekly way that we receive what Jesus has already won for us. But there's too many people I talk to that don't practice a weekly Sabbath. Oh yeah, no, I don't do that. I can't do that because they feel guilty about resting, right? They think resting is lazy. Or maybe they think that they can't afford to rest like that. Or maybe they think they haven't earned the rest yet. Now, those that think that resting is lazy, if that's you, it's probably the type of people who have tied their identity to their work. If I'm not doing what I do, then who am I? And I've done that more times than I can count. I still struggle with tying my identity to my work. But my identity comes from how God sees me, how God created me to be, how God calls me to be now. Sabbath is a gift that helps me learn that. Maybe there's people who think that they can't afford rest. I can't afford a day off. I'm working two jobs as it is. Are you kidding me? Well, that's probably because they're living in this place of scarcity. They're living with a fear that if they slow down, they won't be able to make enough money. They won't be able to make enough progress. They won't be able to gain enough influence. I can't take a day off. And so it really comes from a place of fear. It really comes from a place of saying, I don't trust that God can provide for me. And so I think I have to provide for myself. And since you're providing for yourself, well, you can't afford to rest. But Sabbath is a gift to help us learn to trust that God is able to provide for us, that when we partner with his way of life, he's able to work more through 6 days than we could with all the days added up. For those who think that they need to earn rest, oh, I can't take a day off, I haven't earned it yet. Well, it's probably a combination of the two, right? They think that they don't deserve to be taken care of because there's that identity issue. They need to prove their worth by how hard they're working. But they're also worried of what other people will think or gonna say about them. They're going to fall behind the people that they compare themselves to. Now, I have done all three of these things. I have not taken my identity from my Heavenly Father. I have lived with fear that there won't be enough unless I put in the effort. I have spent way too much time comparing myself to others and being worried what they think of me or how they see me. But Sabbath is God's weekly gift to free us from exhaustion and fill us with life. Sabbath isn't just a day off. It's a direct line for reconnection and restoration with God. Sabbath isn't a retreat or an escape from life. It's an integral part of the life that Jesus offers. And the reason that so many of us are tired all the time or feeling worn all the time or uncertain that, yeah, I had a nice weekend, but I'm not sure if that's going to carry me through this week. The reason that so many of us are unfulfilled in life or in work or in productivity is because we were created to experience the rhythm of rest and work that God put into creation. We were made to experience life the way God created it. It's built into us. And God has given us the gift of Sabbath for our good and for his glory. Sabbath isn't a rule to keep, it's a gift for us to live. And I believe that Sabbath is one of the foundational spiritual habits for every follower of Jesus, right up there with reading the Bible and prayer. The seasons of my life when Megan and I have practiced Sabbath were so much better. They're markedly different. They were sweeter than all the other seasons of our life when we were just running ourselves ragged and being worn thin without a plan to change. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be exploring this concept of Sabbath together as a church family. And we'll talk about best practices, tips, things to avoid, all that stuff. But for now, all I want you to do is start. I want you to start practicing Sabbath. As your pastor, I love you. And I want you to learn the unforced rhythms of grace that God offers us. And so I want you to start by picking your Sabbath window. Maybe for some of you, a full day isn't possible this month. So pick a 3 to 4 hour chunk that you can actually do, because doing it is better than idealism, planning on a thing that won't actually happen. For many people, the best day to Sabbath is Sunday. Because coming to church and worshiping with the church family is an integral part. It's a cornerstone of worshiping God, and that becomes a great thing. So for those of you who are here, for those of you joining us online, like, congratulations, you're doing it, you're starting. But you need to pick, when does my Sabbath begin and when does my Sabbath end? Because how many of you know that when you come to church and then you go straight back out into the stress, it's almost like all of this didn't happen. You have to pick, when do I begin and when do I end? And maybe you need to pick a little routine, a little tradition to kind of kickstart your Sabbath. My family just started a new one where we light a candle at the beginning of Sabbath and we just say what we're thankful for. Say a little prayer. Jesus, I receive your rest. Maybe you light a candle and read the 23rd Psalm. And it's Jesus, I receive your rest. And that's how you're intentionally beginning to open yourself up to how God wants to speak to you. But pick your Sabbath window and then follow God's lead. And do what Sabbath means, which is to stop. Stop all work. And I would say we probably need to stop all screens also. Because the screens that are in our life suck us back into the frenzy of wanting and not having, comparing and worry and fear. And that pulls us out of receiving from God and worshiping Him. Because the rest we need isn't just physical rest. We don't just need a nap. We need soul rest. We need rest for our very personhood from the strain of the world, the stresses, the constant competing ideologies that attack us, and they pull at our desires, they pull at our loves, they beckon us to prostrate ourselves and worship at their altars. We don't just need a nap. We need to reconnect with the source of life. And God has given us that opportunity every single week through Sabbath. And so we enter that time with intentionality. And even if you start Sabbath and you blow it by noon, it's okay. Start again at 12:05. Because this is a practice. This isn't a thing to perform. We're growing into this. But if we don't pause for Sabbath, I fear that we're going to be continually on the brink of burnout and exhaustion. Whenever we are that tired, whenever we're that worn thin, that stressed out, we never make good decisions. We never do things that fill us up with the fruit of the Spirit. Instead, we find ourselves escaping. We find ourselves numbing out, coercing, taking from the world, taking from people around us. Living on the brink of exhaustion not only harms us, but it turns us into the type of people that harm others, whether it's on purpose or by accident. But the more that we practice Sabbath means the more that we are learning God's rhythm, learning God's pace of life. Learning to trust God's providence for us. It means we're learning how to trust God more, how to trust God's plans, taking priority over our plans, how to trust God for His timing, taking priority over our striving, learning how to trust God for the fact that He will provide for us because He's a good Father. Because Sabbath is God's weekly gift to you to free you from exhaustion and fill you with life. And so you can choose a morning, you can choose an afternoon. If you can't do a whole day, this means shift workers. This means single parents. This means farmers ready for harvest. I know life is busy, but you can pick a time, you can put it on your calendar, and you can protect it. If you live with others in the house, maybe commit as a whole house to say, how can we Sabbath together and no work, no screens? See what happens. See what God brings to the surface for you. If you do this, if you practice Sabbath every week this month, you are going to experience heightened awareness. You're going to have heightened senses. The air is going to feel more crisp. The flowers will smell more sweet. The voices of your loved ones are going to connect to your heart deeper. You're going to feel more invigorated to jump back into work because you're coming from a place of rest rather than dragging yourself to the finish line, hoping to get to the weekend. And if we become a community who practices Sabbath, we're going to become a community who embodies and demonstrates how good God is because of how deeply we have learned to trust him and enjoy him. And when other people see that, that's going to become a compelling vision and an invitation to the life that Jesus offers for every single person without us even sharing a word. Because God is good, and he beckons us to trust him, and he beckons us to join him in his work from a place of his rest. Isn't that good news? Amen.